Chapter 53. Mia. The King of Spades was a second home to Mia. So when Kaylin asked to visit the bar after a morning curled under a blanket with Ripper, she was happy to oblige.
I owe your friends an apology, the teen insisted.
Had it not been for the Domovoy forcing the Leshy out, then Alma running interference with Pyotr, Kaylin would have been on her way to homicide. Disguised in sunglasses, scarves, and two large hats, they shut the blinds and flipped the sign on the King of Spades as soon as they arrived, closing for the day. The first thing Kaylin did after shedding her getup was offer the house guardian half a fluffernutter. His head tilted as he examined the morsel, unaccustomed to anything quite like it after his many gourmet feasts. Alma joined them at Kai's request, more muscle while he was away. Eyeing the sandwich on the floor, Gavran roosted on his favorite beer tap, and Crowbar sipped on a citrusy gin and soda, while shouting at Bastion to stop carrying crates stacked 3 miles high. You'll blow your back out. She shook her head when he ignored her, shuffling things around in the kitchen. Kaylin took her seat at the counter, timidly apologizing for the trouble she'd caused. Both Alma and the bartender exchanged perplexed looks, then laughed.
None of this is your fault, said Alma.
While she'd blamed Kai, she never held any of it against Kaylin. For that, at least, Mia was grateful. Crowbar whipped out a pint glass.
Relax, girl. You don't have to carry the world on your shoulders.
She poured the teen a swallow of beer.
To take the edge off. Just don't tell anyone.
Wouldn't want to lose my liquor license. Kaylin's eyes lit up at the illicit beverage.
I can keep a secret.
Alma rolled her eyes.
You barely gave her 4 ounces.
So she can gulp it down fast in case the cops come blasting through the door, Crowbar said with mock offense.
This is why we should move to Europe, Alma chided. Far more sensible liquor laws.
The entryway bell gave an eerie chime, the hinges on the door screeching as someone stepped into the King of Spades. He looked more like a mountain than a man, broad and muscular with sable hair tied back into a knot, an angular face mottled with fading bruises, and cool umber eyes. He wore no jacket, only a long-sleeved t-shirt, track pants, and broken-in sneakers. Like he'd stopped by for a drink in the middle of his daily run. Yet something was off. He seemed uninterested in the establishment and simply stood there, scanning the room. Alma's head snapped in his direction, her snowy mane suddenly static. Her fingers tensed on the countertop, and the corner of her lip twitched as the man's gaze fell on her, and he slowly inclined his head. It took Mia all but 10 seconds to put the pieces together. She jumped in front of Kaylin, Alma joining her the same instant.
We still have time.
10 hours to be exact, but he must have known that. Crowbar swore and backed away, while Kaylin nearly tripped out of her stool. Gavran cawed in warning, and Bastion rushed in from the kitchen, grabbing his friend's arm. Ivan Zvirev smiled. An odd thing on such a terrifying man. He was warm, pitying even, and he shook his head.
Sorry, plans change. My employer's getting impatient.
What's the point of a deal if you're going to break it? Mia challenged.
I am a man of my word. The smile fell from his face. Unfortunately, some things are worth more than my honor.
Alma sniffed.
Money?
Not money, Zvirev corrected. But what it buys.
Mia bit down on her lip. Zvirev was desperate to close the contract and get paid for a reason.
What's Pyotr got over you?
He fixed her with a stony stare, and she scrabbled for Kalin's hand, eyes sliding to the domovoy. The house spirit bristled at the intruder, but beyond a bit of mischief, he was powerless against the living.
Odd for a human to make home with monsters.
An evasion, which only confirmed Mia's suspicions.
Not all monsters have claws and teeth.
She squeezed Kalin's fingers. Gavran spread his wings with an assessing croak, then glided over to perch on Mia's shoulder.
Some are made from the shadows that live in your dreams.
A muscle feathered in his jaw.
Give me the girl, and I'll leave quietly.
Amma stepped up to bar his path.
You know that's not going to happen.
Mia herded Kalin back where Crowbar intercepted her.
How the hell did he find us?
The bartender asked. Zvirev's eyes drifted to Crowbar, his mouth quirking as he tapped his nose. An answer to her question. Bastian retrieved a baseball bat they'd mounted over the bar, ready to swing, but Amma shot him a warning look. Only as a last resort, she seemed to say. The White Wolf had no patience for idle chit-chat. She launched herself at Zvirev, fearless of the consequences. A wolf was a wolf, after all. She was almost a whole foot shorter, but that did nothing to deter her, her ferocity outsizing her stature. Zvirev braced for impact, expecting a head-on assault. Amma veered right. Kicking off a table, she rapidly changed her angle, flying down at Zvirev with a swinging elbow he couldn't evade. Bone contacted with bone, and Mia swore she heard a crunch as Zvirev's head whipped sideways and he collided with the wall. Kai would have quipped about drawing first blood, but Amma had the playfulness of a chainsaw when she fought. Before her opponent recovered, she took out his knee with a punishing sweep, then drove her own into his sternum. Another crack, a grunt from Zvirev. Swooning back, he grabbed Amma's forearm, then shoved her as he righted himself, the force of it staggering. She flew into the stools, braced her arms against the counter ledge, and flipped over the bar. Reaching behind her, she closed her fist around the neck of a vodka bottle, then flung it at Zvirev. He twisted away and blocked the shattering glass, but Amma grabbed another, then another, throwing bottle after bottle until the ground was littered with translucent shards. Little did she care. Her boot soles were made like concrete. Snatching the rum, she hopped over the bar again and wailed on the Goliath, still guarding his face. His arm was bleeding, beads of broken glass embedded in his skin. The bottle smashed against his shoulder as he ducked his head. But Amma wasn't finished. She pulled her elbow back, then thrust the sharpened ends straight into Zvirev's side, pushing him toward the wall. No hesitation, not an ounce of compunction. Teeth bared, his giant hand wrapped around her arm, resisting her as she tried to sink the jagged crown of the glass deeper.
You're as vicious as he is,
Zvirev strained, gradually pulling himself off the bottle end.
Don't insult me. Amma snarled. That puppy is only vicious when he's angry.
Her lips peeled back into a sickle grin, her eyes like amber balefire.
I'm just vicious.
She twisted the bottle, slicing into his inner forearm. He released her, yet he seemed no worse for wear despite the gashes and the stab wound.
He barely feels it,
Kalin whispered, her voice trembling. Crowbar shook her head. A refusal.
That's not possible.
He's desperate, Mia realized. He's not really fighting, doesn't want to, but he can't leave empty-handed. His eyes flashed to Mia, his lip curling as though her words bittered his tongue. Then as quickly as Amma had beaten him back, he slammed a fist into her ribs, the smack of minced muscle turning Mia's stomach. Zvirev lifted Amma in one smooth motion, then threw her across the bar. The white wolf let out an enraged roar, her spine hitting the ledge of the counter so hard that she lurched, winded by the collision. Blood blossomed on the back of her shirt, where she'd struck the hard lip of wood. Forcing air into her lungs with a painful rasp, she steadied herself, determined to chase Zvereyev away.
"There's no winning this," he told her,
his tone absent of triumph. He sounded sad, sorrowful even. Maybe he wanted Amma to win, but some warped honor code dictated he fight. He was too strong. Amma could take almost anyone, even give Kai a run for his money. But what good was that when a single hit from Zvereyev could trounce a living god? He'd battered Kai into a sorry state, and Amma wasn't faring much better. Her body was smaller, easier to harm, and Zvereyev looked like he had steel between his skin and his bones.
"Let's go together."
Bastian adjusted his grip on the bat.
"I may not be much against that, but I'm better than nothing."
"No,"
Amma growled over her shoulder. Bastian jumped over the bar, undeterred.
"Swallow your pride, queen. You can't win every battle alone."
Amma clucked her tongue.
"Don't you dare get hurt." "This is crazy,"
Crowbar pushed past Mia.
"I care about these people. Do you understand that?"
She pointed at Amma.
"This woman is the love of my life, and you're going to tear through her and my best friend to send an innocent kid to her death? You should be stabbed with a bottle, you psychotic fuck."
Mia seized Crowbar's elbow, hauling her back.
"Let them handle it. Someone's got to protect Kaelin if shit goes south." "But..."
Crowbar's protest was cut off as Amma and Bastian charged, splitting the beast's attention. Bastian took the bat to Zvereyev's knees as Amma sprang high enough to graze the ceiling. Anchoring herself to his shoulders, her legs wrapped around his neck, she twisted her body as she pincered his throat between her thighs, using the momentum to yank him down with her. Mia had never seen a mountain fall. With gravity on her side, Amma toppled him to the glass-littered floor like dynamite incarnate, a plinking chorus echoing through the King of Spades. Bastian continued his assault, pummeling Zvereyev wherever he could. Crowbar pressed her hands over her mouth, muffling a gasp. Even Gavran proved restless on Mia's shoulder, his midnight plumage ruffled from the stress as his beak yawned open, and he released a low, warbling squawk. Kaelin's breaths grew ragged. She tugged against Mia's hold, her skin clammy.
"It's okay,"
Crowbar reassured her, bowing over to rub the teen's arm. Her voice shook as she repeated the words over and over. Perhaps they should have fled, but Zvereyev would give chase, and there was no telling if Amma could keep up. Besides, they couldn't run forever. The sharp sound of splintering wood snapped Mia from her dreadful reverie. The bat had broken. Swearing loudly, Bastian tossed aside the scraps, then dove for Zvereyev. Amma struggled to keep him grappled, bending his arm to a near impossible angle, her legs squeezing his windpipe hard enough to crush bone. Even with Bastian helping her, they could barely keep him down. Eventually, he'd overpower them. And then what? Mia had to do something. She was the dreamwalker. She could traverse netherworlds and nightmares, but in the physical realm, she was powerless against men with the strength of titans. A human girl with a human body, so easily bruised. Gavran stilled beside her, peering at her through an eye like wet ink. Then the boy's voice echoed in her mind.
"You are boundless, a creature of chaos. A thing like water and shadow. Water is not beholden to stone. Shadow does not yield to material confines. All things crumble, and all light gutters eventually, but the ocean is depthless, and darkness devours everything it hungers for."
The dreamwalker didn't care for boundaries. She crossed realms not because she esteemed worldly laws, but because she defied them. She'd cut the seams of reality to let chaos spill out. Mia released Kaelin's hand and walked into the fray. When Gavran tried to follow, she rebuffed him with an icy glare.
Stay with Kaelin.
What are you doing?
Panic laced Amma's voice as she tracked Mia's movements.
Helping.
Mia dropped into a crouch, then placed her hands on either side of Zvieriev's face. Both Bastion and Amma gawked at her, terror leaving them slack-jawed.
Look at me, Mia commanded, and whether out of curiosity or compulsion, he listened.
His gaze met the dreamwalker's, murky green eyes mining for something to excavate. She wasn't sure what she was doing, but she always followed the routes in the dreamscape. They were like roads, taking her where she needed to go. People had roots, too. Perhaps they led somewhere. With a steadying breath, Mia imagined herself sinking into the man whose skull she held between her hands. A stone, making a new home at the bottom of a dark lake. He was guarded, and she sensed in him a wildness that he'd sealed behind a long-worn mask of human propriety. Yet what surprised Mia was the warmth she felt behind his steely stare. She expected cold, but instead found a low simmer of resolve that he'd buried beneath a callous exterior. Something to hide his motivations, his weaknesses, the spaces where he invested his care. And he did care. Otherwise, he wouldn't have worked so hard to disguise it.
What are you hiding, Ivan Zvieriev?
A sharp pain lanced Mia's skull as she plumbed deeper, chipping at the emotional wall he'd erected. Darkness peppered her vision, but between the undulating shadows a shape emerged. A reedy silhouette, a man hunched over a desk as he held a thorny stem. Knife in hand, he plucked off the barbs, each snap crystallizing Mia's vision. A scarlet rose, a small shop, an elderly florist. When the last thorn was removed, the man stared wistfully at his handiwork. Then he lurched, a moist hack muffled by his palm over his mouth. Something dark and viscous spewed from his thin lips, dripped from his crabbed hand, and dyed the blossom black. Illness, death, boundaries even the dreamwalker couldn't flout. All things ended, and the promise of it was a dual blade that both gave time and stole it. Slow suffering married to fleeting joy.
Get out, Zvieriev snarled.
Mia dug her nails into his temples, hooking into him like talons piercing through flesh. Something warm and coppery dribbled from her nose, and as she licked her lips, she tasted blood.
Mia! You're hurting yourself,
Amma said, her urgency palpable, but she couldn't do anything to stop her, with all her strength poured into restraining Zvieriev.
Who's the old man?
Mia demanded, ignoring the white wolf's concern. If she could understand why he was doing this, she could figure out how to dissuade him. There was no stopping him by force. Bastion and Amma couldn't subdue him. And Crowbar had no way of protecting Kaelin. Zvieriev denied her a response. His thrashing turned frantic as he tried shaking Mia's influence. But she held fast. Blood ribboned over her earlobes, oozing down her neck. She wasn't meant to do this, to violate someone's will so blatantly, to rip the dreams from their mind while they were awake. Dreamwalking was easy. She went to those who reached for her in their sleep, unaware of what they manifested. They didn't know they were calling for help, luring the dreamwalker into their hidden world. But this was wrong, and it revolted her.
Mia, stop!
Amma's voice was hazy. Red blurred Mia's vision, her mind and body unable to tolerate invading another person. The image of the old man faded, though she grasped enough. He was dying, and Zvieriev, was afraid. Her grip slipped as Bastian finally caved. With a savage roar, Zvyriev threw them both off, swiping Mia hard enough to send her crashing into the stools before she hit the floor. Pain shot through her spine, the glass shards a legion of jagged little teeth on her skin. With Alma left as the sole defender, Zvyriev muscled his way to his feet, with the white wolf still clinging to him. He threw his weight into the wall, slamming Alma until she let go and crumpled to the floor, heaving. Mia's organs felt like they were in the wrong place, her ears ringing as she battled a nauseating wave of dizziness. Gavran's sharp caw pierced through the cotton in her ears. But before he dove for Zvyriev's eyes, a last-ditch effort to slow the beast, Kaelin's voice shattered the bedlam.
"I'll go with you."
She shrugged Crowbar away as the bartender scrambled for her. Mia saw the guilt swirling in the teen's expression, and shame quickly followed, seeping into her as she reached for blame.
"Please, stop hurting them."
Zvyriev staggered as he regained his balance. He plucked the glass from his hands, his shirt torn from the wound Alma had inflicted. Scarlet crescents pocked his temples. Though they quickly faded, his supernatural healing already kicking in.
"Kaelin."
Mia forced herself to a seated position, feeling bruised all the way down to her marrow.
"Don't."
"Come," Zvyriev interrupted, holding his lacerated hand out to the girl. Crowbar grabbed the teen, stuttering over her words to deter her, but Kaelin had made up her mind. Squeezing Crowbar's wrists, she shook her head, and the bartender didn't have the heart to fight her. Defeated, Crowbar let go. There was far too much on the line to justify holding on. Kaelin joined her captor, slipping her tiny hand into one that could crush granite. Quietly, they departed the King of Spades, leaving three barren souls and a wasteland in their wake.